Morning World.
Yes, it's been a couple of weeks now, hasn't it? Well, last week I wasn't on, as many people noted. And I have to thank, every time somebody doesn't come on at their normal time, we always get a very lovely email from our friend Ian Duff. And Ian was very concerned when I didn't come on the air as normal last week. Well, I do apologize, folks. It was completely beyond my control. And thankfully, Chris Reardon is back. Incidentally, happy birthday, Chris, and welcome back. We have missed you. We have missed you, dear. boy, have we missed you. And during Chris's vacation, I've been the one who's been putting the United Kingdom radio shows up online. And we don't really appreciate, I think, the stuff that Chris does for us. So really do think it's very nice to have him back. Now, I was last week, like I said, I was here. I was ready to go. Had all my notes in front of me. I was all ready to get on the air. 15 minutes before I was due to go on, I checked out the stream like I always do, and the stream didn't work. Couldn't connect. And that was very, very frustrating. Now, if I had been thinking a little bit more clearly, I might have tried to I tried to get the stream to work. I mean, that was sort of my main priority here. And but I do realize now if that happens in the future, I can try going back to the old way that we used to record the show, and that it would still record online, and that would be Ustream. But I always had really, really bad luck with Ustream, and to be honest, I really never liked Ustream that much. Ustream, I would have these terrible incidents of noise coming in. And I don't really like Ustream. But it does seem to be working this week, so thank goodness for that. We are actually live. If you are listening on Saturday morning, February 5th at 4:05 p.m. in the UK or 10:05 a.m. here in Chicago, then you are listening live. If you are listening at any other time, then you are listening to a pre-recorded show. Now, if you're listening live, you can actually participate in the show. You can call in, and the number, if you are in the UK, you can call us by phone, and it's 020-3287-1488, and that is a local London number. That is not a premium rate number, but if you are anywhere outside of London, then you will have to pay the amount that you would have to pay to call London. Or, in fact, you can call for free by Skyping in at United Kingdom Radio. Just want to say hello really, really quickly to people who are listening on Skype, to Christopher Drakeford. Hello, Chris. And he is actually in Chicago right now. So welcome to Chicago, Chris. Hope you enjoy your visit here. If you haven't had a chance to go to the museums and all that yet, there's a lot of stuff to do here in Chicago. Fantastic town. And of course, we have all the live theater. We have, of course, right now, you also have this lovely, lovely winter weather. It has been one of those weeks. Now, I was going to talk a little bit about this last week because we started getting the hype for this big snowstorm about last Friday. I started to hear about that. Oh, there's a big storm coming. It could be the worst storm in the generation. It's the, we're going to get, 5 feet of snow and everybody's going to die. And that was just sort of, we have this thing here in Chicago, and I don't know, I suppose it probably happens elsewhere too, where you have people always think that the weather where they are is the worst in the world. And they'll complain about it. And so you have these people in Chicago, they're always like, oh, it's so horrible here in the winter. It's so cold in the winter. It's so hot in the summer. Blah, 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 blah. Well, I've lived in a lot of different places. I've lived in Florida. I've lived in Ohio. I've lived several places in Ohio. I've lived in Arkansas. And everybody thinks that their weather is so much worse than everybody else's. But I tell you, folks, it really isn't that bad. Anyway, where am I going? I'm gone way off the topic already. And so anyway, about Friday, we started hearing all this talk about the snow that's coming. The snow that's coming. Snowpocalypse 2011! Do you like that? Anybody who plays World of Warcraft will recognize that noise. So yeah, so we started hearing noise about it on about Friday. And then on Monday, my boss kind of called us in and said, you know, hey, you know, if you don't come in tomorrow, that's okay. Because, you know, we were expecting, you know, they were saying up to like 25 inches of snow, they were saying. So it's like this huge amount of snow. Now, if there's one thing that I know about the people in Chicago, like I said, they love to complain about the weather and like to overstate everything when it comes to the weather. Now, it didn't seem to me, you know, 25 inches of snow, that's just not feasible. Look at, you know, looking at the weather pattern, it's just not feasible. Yeah, we knew we were going to get a lot of snow, though. So the snow actually started on Tuesday, and we got about a foot of snow. Now, the thing about that, you know, a foot of snow under normal circumstances isn't all that much. It's not, you know, it's a lot of snow, but it's not unmanageable. But of course, they're not going to try to sell this as, oh, we're going to get about a foot of snow. It's going to, you know, have fun. They're trying to do all this doom and gloom. You know, this apocalyptic snowpocalypse 2011. But of course, yeah, what happened was we got about 3 inches of snow on Tuesday. And then overnight, we got about a foot of snow. Now, the thing about the snow, though, is that, you know, because we had this massive, very, very cold air coming from the north, we had a massive, very warm, humid air coming from the south, we ended up with this very, very powdery snow. So we got a lot of snow, but a lot of it's gone now. I mean, we still have a lot of it, you know, kind of packed up on the street here, especially on the road. But, you know, if anybody has been here, and I suppose Christopher is one of those people, you can see that the snow has visibly gone down in the last few days since the snow. So anyway, so much for the snowpocalypse 2011. It just didn't turn out to be that big a deal. But anyway, that's just kind of the way it is here. And I'm kind of curious about if other people are having the same sorts of things happening where they are. Now, I know that they had, you know, snow in Texas, which is not normal, that they would get as much snow as they've had. And there are other parts of the country that aren't very well, I guess, they're not very well prepared when these big snows come. Now, we here in Chicago, you know, we're used to snow. We get snow every winter, kind of varying amounts of snow. It's not the same every year, but we do get a fair amount here. So we're kind of used to it, and we know how to deal with it. And I see that, you know, I go on the street now. There's some cars out on the street that are completely covered because of the drifting, because of the snow plow kind of pushing the snow, and people haven't gone to dig out their car. And it's those times that I'm very, very happy that I didn't, you know, I didn't get a car here. I don't have a car, don't need a car, don't really go anywhere that requires a car. I mean, you know, here in Chicago, you can get around by public transportation. We have the L. Now, on Wednesday morning, after the big storm, the L was running. You know, there was no disruption of service on the L. I was still able to get to work. Now, it was a trial to get to work. I have to tell you, I trudged through the snow. They had not yet cleared any of the roads in Evanston. I don't work in Chicago. I work in Evanston, which is the next town north of Chicago. I actually live about 3 miles away from where I work, so I can literally walk to work or back. And I quite often do walk home from work. I don't walk to work because I'd have to get up an hour early, and I don't like to get up an hour early. I'm just lazy that way. I don't want to get up so early in the morning. But and so anyway, yeah, so I trudged through Evanston. Now, at that point, they had not cleared the roads. So the main roads in Evanston were about, you know, a foot to 18 inches deep in snow, depending on where the drifting was. And the alleyway leading into the building, because it was a narrow area, accumulated a lot more snow. And it was above the knee in our alleyway. And it took a whole day. I was the only one who showed up for work. That's dedication, folks. That's dedication. If there's one thing I can say is that I'm dedicated to the things that I try to do, which is why it was such a pain that I wasn't here last week. But I am here now. And even Snowpocalypse 2011 could not keep me away from you this week. So hello, everybody. All right. So what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about imaginary friends. This was a topic I was going to talk about a few weeks ago, incidentally. And so I'm just kind of curious. Now, a lot of kids have imaginary friends when they're little. But I don't remember ever having an imaginary friend. So if anybody out there had an imaginary friend, let us know. You can, once again, you can Skype in. The Skype address is United Kingdom Radio. Or indeed, you can message us on Skype at United Kingdom Radio. Or you can phone us 020-3287-1488. And that is, of course, a local London number. So please feel free to contact the show. All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit. Before I do that, I have an email here. Now, I got a couple of emails this past week from James Bates. So hello, James. And James is a listener. Now, he was saying he was enjoying the travel shows that I do. And James asked if I have any shows on the UK. And I do indeed have some shows on UK. And in fact, the next show, which is next Saturday, is going to be another travel show. And I've been kind of working on some stuff, but I changed what I was going to talk about. I was originally going to do a show on Finland, and try to get Paul from Finland on the show to so we can talk about Finland together. But Paul is not available, so I'm actually going to be doing my show on Edinburgh, because it is sort of a place that you can talk about. You can devote a whole show segment to it. There's a lot to see in Edinburgh. There's a lot to do in Edinburgh, and we will be talking about that next week on the show. And anybody, especially if you're not in the UK, but even of course the people who are in the UK, your thoughts about Edinburgh, you can call me next week and we can talk about that. But I do have another travel show on Finland coming eventually, probably in about 3 weeks from today. What are they doing upstairs? There's somebody pounding on, they're like hammering or something on the floor upstairs. Very, very strange. And hopefully that didn't come over the microphone. I don't think so. It wasn't that loud, but, so Edinburgh next week, we'll be talking about that a little bit. But yeah, I have actually done travel shows. Now, for those of you who are not aware, I used to do a podcast. It was a weekly podcast. I would put it out on Wednesday. It's called Tom Harris USA. And you can go and hear those old shows over on TomHarrisUSA.com. Did the show for almost 2 years. And then kind of decided I liked doing the live show better. For a while, I was doing both of them. I was doing the pre-recorded show on Wednesday and then the live show on Saturday. And it just, over time, it's gotten to, obviously, I've been doing the live shows now and haven't been doing as many of the podcasts. I still pop one out every once in a while. But it's not as interesting as the live show in my experience. As far as the actual experience of sitting down and recording a show, if I were going to sit down and record a show, like the old Tom Harris USA podcast, it could take me all night. It could take me a whole evening to sit down, 2 or 3 hours to record a half-hour show. With the live show, it's all over very, very quickly. Now, it's not as polished. It's not as slick. I can't go back and re-record things. I could, but, I don't. I because I'm lazy that way. But you could go back and re-record stuff and edit stuff and make it very polished. Now, I did talk about the UK on those shows. I started doing travel shows on my show back around episode 33, I think it was. And I did a whole series of travel shows on the UK of the Hadrian's Wall Path. And I talked a little bit about the history. I talked about the areas of the UK that my best friend and I were hiking through. So you can go back and you can listen to those shows. The address over there is TomHarrisUSA.com. And you can go back to the archives for September of 2009. And I think did like 5 parts on the Hadrian's Wall Path. So basically 5 half-hour long shows. And then I've done some other travel stuff there as well. That's where I started this Tom's Travel series. And I started out talking about, you know, Amsterdam, and I talked about Belgium and all that. So anybody who enjoys the travel shows, and there do seem to be a few of you out there who like the travel shows, you can go there and you can listen to the various shows that I've done on other places. And I'm going to continue to do that series over here, of course, but you can go back there and listen to the old ones if that interests you. And I do, you know, I kind of have some other stuff in the works podcast-wise. I think my other project is finally starting to come together a little bit. And I don't want to talk too much about it because I know it's taken forever. I know I started talking about doing this new podcast back in October. And that has nothing to do with anything we talk about here. This is, you know, this is kind of my slice of life stuff. That is more directly a niche podcast. It's a comics related podcast, and I do have a co-host, and we're trying to get things pulled together and get all the technical stuff worked out. But so far, that just hasn't worked out. So we'll get it there eventually. Speaking of podcasts, now I do have a couple of podcast recommendations. Now I listen to about 15 different podcasts, and I try to keep the number that I listen to relatively stable because it gets to the point where, you know, it just gets out of control if I'm listening to too many podcasts at once. And some of them are, you know, sort of general podcasts like this one. I listen to all of the United Kingdom radio shows as they're posted. And I listen to a lot of things that are related to science and skepticism and atheism as well. So these are the sorts of things that I said, and I'm able to sit at work and listen to various podcasts while I'm at work. You know, a lot of people listen to music at work, or they'll, you know, have their iPod or whatever. And what I do is I download podcasts and I listen to them while I work. And because my office is sort of isolated from the other people, I can do that, and they don't hear what I'm listening to. So that's all very convenient. Now I could put on headphones, of course, if they, you know, objected to me listening to podcasts at work. But nobody ever does. Nobody cares. Oh, we do have a call coming in.
Which used to be quite good when all.
Hello on Skype.
Hello, and it's Tom Harris. Good evening.
It is Tom Harris, and this is Ross Patzelt calling.
This is Ross Patzelt calling, and Atticus Stout and Yannick Clay.
Oh, hello to everybody.
Hello. Group hug.
Hello.
So
don't spill my bosson.
What's your topics today? Because we want to nick some topics to talk about.
Imaginary friends.
Oh, Atticus has got loads of them, haven't you, Atticus?
Got a few.
Yeah. Tell
us. One called God, I think, is, you know,
that's
one.
Is he imaginary friend to you?
Yeah. Was it Jehovah?
Father Christmas. You believe in Father Christmas, don't you, Atticus?
He's real. He's bloody real. You can't this. No one can dis. There's more evidence to suggest that he's real.
Do you still leave a mince pie out for him?
I leave a mince pie and a certain publication out for him every Christmas.
There is just as much evidence to support the existence of Father Christmas than there is of God.
If Father Christmas exists, my name is Chris Reardon.
Well, hello, Chris. How are you? How was Australia?
Hello? Is he there?
Hello.
Oh, I thought he was on the line as well. I thought you were doing a conference.
Oh, I am on the line as well. Now, I'm, of course, live on my show. Now, are we broadcasting on your side, sir?
Yes, we're broadcasting. This is a multicast. Multicast.
It's a multicast.
I used to have an imaginary friend, and he was a monster.
Okay.
With piercing red eyes and feral fangs and claws. I'm telling you this seriously. He used to follow me around. You used to imagine he followed me around. I first saw his face at it was a sideshow, and a mask gave me the idea for him. And I would actually imagine this character was following me around with red eyes, and he actually was a psychotic imaginary friend and would hurt anybody that came near to me. Then the first time I woke up and I saw this strange, I saw a bruised body next to me. I knew it was Albert that did it.
Albert!
But he told me exactly where to hide the bodies, all the parts. And he said, put them in the dumpster, put them in the dumpster. And he must be real because I did that. Yeah, so I know he's real. All these murders keep on happening around me and everything.
So your imaginary friend is a psychopathic killer.
Yes, yeah. These strange things keep happening around me. Houses get burnt down, and I wake up and I realise that the kitchen has been burnt to
Atticus.
Charred. Yes.
Are you off your meds?
He's had a cider.
Well, I've had coffee, and I can prove it.
Cider and coffee. Antipsychotics don't mix well.
Coffee with whiskey.
Ooh, that's quite nice, actually.
Oh, is that? Have you ever tried OXO cubes with water?
Yep.
I think OXO is beef bouillon, so that's not something I'm going to eat.
Yeah, beef stock.
Any bouillon does. It's okay. Mm. Vegetable is fine.
What are you supposed to do with this beef bouillon?
Put it in hot water and drink it.
Oh, that's called soup.
Well, it's kind of soup. It's more of a broth.
It's like beef broth, or vegetable broth, yeah. Or you can make like dashi, this fish based, the Japanese would have.
What's it called? Miso soup.
Well, miso is soybean paste, but dashi would be a fish based. They would use it in ramen and udon.
Oh, that sounds a lot nicer.
Oh, it's very very nice. Yeah.
Does it improve virility though?
I don't know that. I assume it does.
It must do. The Japanese, there has been a decline in the Japanese population recently.
Well, yeah, because the population is getting very old. The population is aging.
Is that because of a social? Maybe it's due to social dynamics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It has a lot to do with social dynamics. It has a lot to do with the fact that it's a small island, so overpopulation has always been a concern.
Yeah, 85% of households in Stockholm have only one tenant.
Wow.
Yeah, it's we're being like sold this sort of single life. You know, I live alone. Mm-hmm. Well, the monster, of course.
Oh, right. I thought you had roommates.
Well, technically, should we say that they're there, but I don't know. I don't have much contact with them.
I see.
Yeah, and I know it sounds like I'm not actively being antisocial, but they kind of avoid me like a plague victim. So.
So Atticus, Zach from Australia is saying, tell Atticus the neighbors do exorcisms every Thursday.
We'll shout for Zach.
What's that?
He says racist stuff on the air. He's funny.
Does he?
Yeah, he's a crank, Zach.
Okay.
I think.
Well, Zach, what
is it about exorcisms?
He says that your neighbors do exorcisms every Thursday.
How does he know that?
I don't know how he knows that.
Isn't Thursday? Isn't it? Don't the Freemasons meet on Thursdays?
They do here. Yeah, they may do.
No, but have you had any interesting imaginary friends or depictions of them yet?
I'm sorry, what?
Have you had any interesting views on imaginary friends yet?
You folks are my first caller this week.
Oh, it's just disgusting. Can I tell you what? I get really peed off with United Kingdom Radio how people don't ever call in.
They do call in. You called in.
But not enough.
Well,
it's always the cranks.
Oh, sorry, can I just butt in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was saying to Paul Edwards a little while ago that I think that United Kingdom Radio should seriously think about, I know I bang on about it now because of Atticus told me, but you should really think about going on 1,000 mics because that United Kingdom Radio would get more exposure on there than just have just their own stream. Yeah. Do you see what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because that's what you mean. Well, yeah. Chris, if you're listening, take it under advisement,
Yeah, I think you might get more people. That will save, logins and all this sort of stuff, and don't know.
Yeah, yeah. It's something to think about anyway.
Something to think about. And the podcasts are there straight away as well, as rather than having to wait like a couple of days for them to be put up and stuff like that,
This radio show is brought to you by...
Blue Ridge Spirits.
1,000 mics.
1,000 mics.
Sponsors of Snowpocalypse 2011. All right, sir, I'm going to let you go.
All right, then. Cheers, Tom. All the best.
Yep. See you later. Bye. Yep. And that was the lovely Ross Petz out there, actually on his radio show over on 1000mics.com, the Ross Petz out Geekcast. So very odd. So we're broadcasting on both stations at the same time. So anyway, all right, so I'm going to move on now. If anybody else has any thoughts on Imaginary Friends, they should feel free to contact us. Once again, the Skype address is United Kingdom Radio, and feel free to call in. In the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and play a couple of trails for you.
Hello there. Yeah, don't worry about us. We're fine. We're just here, though, to let you know that we've got our very own talk show on United Kingdom Radio each Friday night between 8 and 9 p.m. We'll chat about the week's events and have a few games to really get your minds thinking. So go on, keep us company. That's me, Terry Turner.
And me, Travis Mitchell. Fridays from 8 p.m. on United Kingdom Radio.
Hello, Chris Reardon here. I hope you enjoy our shows here at United Kingdom Radio. A bit of fundraising now for the station. If you fancy a bit of music in your life, then why not try one of my weekly non-stop music mixes? All music, no talking. You can get a new one each week and download them from www.chrisreardonshow.co.uk. For just 80 pence UK, that's about $1.30 US, they are over 75 minutes long and contain some of the brand new club tunes around at the moment in the UK. Download them now from www.chrisreardonshow.co.uk. My weekly mixes, just 80 pence. www.chrisreardonshow.co.uk.
So if you folks want to support the show, please feel free to download Chris Reardon's music mixes. That is one of the ways that we raise money for the station here. Keep the station going. Bing! All right, so moving on. I don't remember if I've actually done this Chris Reardon Has Decreed. I don't remember. Anyway, let's just do it anyway. And if it's a rerun, then please forgive me for rerunning. So here we go with Chris Reardon Has Decreed.
Chris Reardon!
I love it! All right, every week, as you know, I go and I scour Chris Reardon's back catalog for new clips and play them on my show. So here is this week's Chris Reardon Has Decreed.
The BBC need more money. We need to give them more money. I think the BBC license fee should be at least £1,000 per year.
And that is what Chris Reardon Has Decreed for this week. Stay tuned for next week when he might say something like this.
There was someone, I thought he was going to come and cut my head off. He had a face mask on. It wasn't a nun, because you can't talk to them like I'm talking to you now. All they do usually is stand in the corner of a room and wave their arms about and look complete and utter idiots. There's nothing vibrating in this house, and that's why I'm here. I told you that before.
And that was, I had played that one before, hadn't I? Yes, I had. I'm sorry about that, folks. I don't mean to rerun the Chris Reardon Has Decreed, but I thought it was left over from last week. I guess I didn't sit down and do one this week. Anyway, all right, so I'm going to move on now to one of our regular features, Today in History. Today in History on February 5th, In 1649, the Prince of Wales became King Charles II. Ah, the Restoration over in the UK. In 1778, the first state to ratify the Articles of Confederation was South Carolina, today in 1778. Ah, this one is for Atticus. In 1783, Sweden recognized the independence of the United States. In 1816, Giacomo Rossini's opera, The Barber of Seville, premiered in Rome, Italy. In 1904, America ended its occupation of Cuba. In 1922, the first edition of Reader's Digest was published. Very, very popular magazine here among old people, the Reader's Digest is. In 1953, Walt Disney's Peter Pan premiered at the Roxy Theater in New York City. And 1971, Apollo 14, the third U.S. manned moon expedition, landed near Fra Mauro, on the moon, of course. And Alan Shepard and Edward Mitchell, the astronauts, walked on the moon for about 4 hours. Today, in 1971. In 1973, the premiere of the comic strip Hagar the Horrible. I was quite like that one. In 1974, heiress Patty Hearst was kidnapped by a group later revealed to be the Siamese Liberation Army. Famous birthdays on February 5th include, in 1778, Robert Peel, British Prime Minister from 1834 to 1846. He was the founder of the Tory Party, the Conservative Party in Britain. In 1840, John Boyd Dunlop was born. He was the in Scotland, is the developer of the pneumatic rubber tire. In 1900, Adlai Stevenson, presidential candidate in 1952 and 1956. He was the Democratic governor of Illinois, was born. I think he ran against, I think it was Eisenhower. Pretty sure it was Eisenhower he ran against and lost. 1906, John Carradine, the actor, was born in Greenwich Village, New York. 1914, one of my very favorite authors, William S. Burroughs, was born in St. Louis, Missouri, known for The Naked Lunch, Wild Boys, among several other things. Love William Burroughs. 1917, Zsa Zsa Gabor was born, Zsa Sari, in Budapest, Hungary. She just had her part of her leg amputated, I believe. She's been in the news a lot lately, considering she is 96 years old, or however old she is. In 1919, comedian Red Buttons was born, Aaron Chwat, in the Bronx, New York. 1934, Hank Aaron, baseball player, the home run record holder. I don't think he still holds the record anymore, but it was held the record at 755 home runs. And he was the 1957 National League Most Valued Player. 1940, H.R. Giger, the artist, was born. He did the special effects design for Alien and a bunch of other stuff. He did the cover of a Emerson, Lake & Palmer album. we love his work. 1943, the founder of Atari and the creator of the video game Pong was born out. Nolan Bushnell was born in 1943 today. In 1948, Christopher Guest was born, the actor from This Is Spinal Tap, among other things. In 1963, Chris Reardon was born near London, in England, in 1963. And in 1969, Bobby Brown, the vocalist, was born in Roxbury, Massachusetts. Now that is Today in History, February 5th of 2011. And I just have to go shut off the music here. 2011, home of Snowpocalypse 2011. I don't think I'm ever going to get tired of that, folks. So you might as well tune out now. So back to our talking about imaginary friends. I've actually been doing a fair amount of reading on this, looking up stuff, and just kind of trying to figure this out, because I don't really remember having any sort of imaginary friends. Now, I certainly had a lot of imagination when I was a kid, but I don't remember actually thinking that I had an imaginary friend that was real. And I could, you know, but not in the sense that, you know, you think of it as little kids. You know, you have a tea party with your imaginary friends. You know, you have your teddy bear, you have your dolly, you have, you know, and do all that. You know, I don't remember doing that when I was a kid. Now, nowadays I do. But I don't really have an imaginary friend in the sense of actually believing that that is real. It's more an aspect of personal mythology and so forth. But, you know, why do people have imaginary friends? Well, you know, if anybody can tell us what they found in that, to let us know, of course, and they can Skype in the show, as always. But from what I've read, this has a lot to do with coping mechanisms. When you're a child, you feel powerless. You feel as though you're not in control. And childhood is a very frustrating time, especially when you're very small, you know, 3-4 years old. And that is the age when most kids will acquire some sort of an imaginary friend. You know, somebody who they feel they can relate to, somebody they can talk to. And I wonder, I do kind of wonder if the form that imaginary friends take on, and this is, of course, you know, Atticus aside, he's psychotic, you know, everyone knows that. But, you know, the form that the imaginary friends take have a lot to do with the culture at large. So, for example, kids of my generation would probably have been more likely to invent a character out of whole cloth and, you know, be able to talk to them and relate to them and, you know, share their little frustrations with them. And nowadays, I wonder, is it more often that kids would pick a television character? And I don't know the answer to that. If anybody knows the answer to that, let me know, because it's something that has interested me. And again, you know, talking with Atticus, I mentioned, you know, the imaginary friend who he refers to as God. Now, in a lot of ways, the whole God concept, as far as I'm concerned, is tied right into this imaginary friend thing, because, after all, when do people turn to God? Well, they do it at a time when they're feeling frustrated or helpless. It's a coping mechanism that, of course, you have to, in order to get through your day or whatever, you project yourself onto this imaginary friend. It's somebody you can talk to and share your frustrations with. Of course, in the church, they call that prayer. And rather than have, you know, talking to your teddy bear, you talk to Jesus instead. And, you know, that is considered to be a socially acceptable behavior. Whereas most children, when they get to be about, you know, school age, are actively encouraged to get rid of their imaginary friends in favor of this adult imaginary friend. So I find this whole idea to be very, very interesting now. Where, you know, it's not acceptable for a little child to have an imaginary friend past a certain age, but then they're indoctrinated right into this whole religion thing. It doesn't matter what religion it is. It could be, you know, Judaism or Islam or Christianity or you know, Hinduism, and any of these things. And you're encouraged to believe in an imaginary friend and talk to them and discuss things with them. And of course, you know, people sometimes claim that they can hear them talking back. Zach is asking, do your toys count as imaginary friends? If so, yes. I would say, yeah, if you actually kind of pretend that they're real, or if you actually believe that they are real, I would say that, yeah, sure, toys would count. I can think, yeah, certainly, you know, I have this little bear that I travel with. And my little bear is called Ezer. Now Ezer, he travels around with me. Now, I don't think that Ezer is alive. I don't think that he's sentient. But he's like my mascot. And I take him with me whenever I go on a trip, whenever I go on a hiking trip or whatever, Ezer comes along. And he's my little companion. But I don't sit there and talk to Ezer. Yeah, I don't think of him as a real person who I could interact with. Well, I'm sure a lot of little kids talk to their toys. Of course they do. Yeah, it's all part of the whole role-playing that people do and the role-playing that kids do when they're little and they like playing with their Barbie doll and you put on these little performances. These are kids acting out sort of their understanding of what adult behavior is. I think that's the sort of thing. That's a normal part of human development. But it does actually reach a point at some point when you actually do start to have the adult behavior yourself, and you actually start to engage in this sort of social behavior on your own and don't have to act it out with puppets or dolls or teddy bears or whatever. So why, I don't understand, why the religion thing is pushed on us as being acceptable when it's clearly the same thing. So this is a few of my thoughts, and if anybody else has their own thoughts, they should feel free to contact the show. Now, if you can't call in, or if you're listening to the show in podcast, you can also contact me by email, and I'm more than happy to get emails from people, and I will respond to them on the show. The email address is tom@tomharrisusa.com, or you can write to tom@unitedkingdomradio.co.uk, and I'll still get it. I'll still get it at the same email box, so it doesn't really matter. So anyway, so I have been, I got way off the subject, didn't I? I'm just all over the place on this show, I have to tell you. So I am listening to about 15 different podcasts. I was just talking about this. Now, what happens with my podcast listening is that I'll go through, I'll listen to a show for a while, then I'll kind of stop, I'll come back listening to it. Zach is saying if toys counted, then yes, he had lots of them. Okay, well, when you're a kid, that's okay. That's a sign of imaginative thinking. So fantastic, yeah. So that's great. But now, has that actually, Zach? Now you can call in if you like. Has that been translated to yourself as an adult? And I know you're 18. I guess that counts as an adult. Yeah, I would think it would. And do you have those kind of imaginary friends now? That's kind of what I'm curious about. Now, what I was talking about, now I listen to a lot of podcasts, and the podcast I have two to recommend to you this time. Now, I've actually cut out a couple of the podcasts I've been listening to for a couple of years. I've kind of been sporadically listening to them anyway, so I just kind of have cut them out completely now. And that has opened up a couple more slots. And recently, I've discovered two new podcasts that I'd like to recommend to you. Now, if you are both of these are atheist podcasts, by the way. And the first one is called Reasonable Doubts. This is put out by three guys in their Michigan. And I'm trying to remember the name of the town. Grand Rapids, Michigan. And Reasonable Doubts is a very reasonable kind of intellectual discussion about various issues surrounding religion. They talk about that quite a lot on the show. It's basically the theme of their show is that every show is about religion. So if you're interested in that, I recommend you check them out. They're called Reasonable Doubts. And the second one, I wasn't really sure what I thought about this at first. It took me about, three shows to really get hooked on it. The name of the show is Religious. I can't even say it. Irreligiosophy is the name of the podcast. That is the name. Irreligiosophy. I'll spell it if I have to. It's Irreligiosophy. Irreligiosophy. And this is two guys who, if you are looking for a family-friendly podcast, this is not the one to go for. They are rude. They are profane. They make a lot of off-color comments. So that would not be something that we'd play here on United Kingdom Radio. But funny, funny podcast, and they talk about skeptical topics, and they talk about religious topics. These guys are two former Mormons, and they are hilarious, absolutely hilarious. I do highly recommend. They make a lot of gay jokes, that not jokes against gay people, but they make a lot of gay jokes about each other, I guess. So it isn't for everyone, I have to say. It's not something that everybody would enjoy. But after I got hooked on it, I just can't wait for every episode. It's really, really good. I've been listening to a lot of really good stuff. And of course, The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, that's one I've been listening to for quite a while now. And I've gotten to the point where, and especially since my job is going to be going away soon, I've talked about that. My job is going to be going away soon. I will have a little bit more time to spend listening to podcasts at home. But that's not really, was not my intention. Of course, maybe I'll go back to listening to some of the ones I've kind of cut out. I know that, some of my friends who do podcasts, I'm really bad about listening to. So, some of them I listen to every episode, and some of them I, listen to maybe, one out of every four or something. And a couple people have just kind of gotten cut out altogether. But anyway, so that is what we're talking about. So if anybody has any thoughts on that, of course, please feel free to contact the show. We have about 10 minutes left, so if anybody can call in, that they are much appreciated. Now, I was going to talk a little bit about Egypt. I was going to talk about Egypt last week, actually, but, and the way it stands right now, it looks as though, over the past week, there's been a lot of news, talking. It doesn't seem that things have changed that much since last week. But I had a few thoughts, and I was going to talk about this a little bit last week before my technical difficulties prevented me from coming on the air. Now, the thing about Egypt that you have to remember is that what they're going through now is sort of a natural process. This isn't something that you have agitators coming in from outside causing trouble and creating havoc just for the sake of creating havoc. You have to understand that Egypt has been under the thumb of a dictator for 30 years. Now, just because Hosni Mubarak is a dictator doesn't mean that he's, Saddam Hussein. There are degrees of totalitarianism. And as dictators go, you can do a lot worse than the current government of Egypt. But it is a dictatorship. And there is a lack of freedom in that country. Oh, we have a comment here, another comment from Zach here. Zach is saying, yes, I'm an adult now, and I suppose the toys have their own personalities in my mind, even though I know they don't, if you know what I'm trying to say. Yes, I know exactly what you're trying to say, Zach, and it's what I'm saying too. And I'm extending that a little further. I'm extending that to the whole idea of God as an imaginary friend. So I kind of wonder if people think of God in the same way that they thought of their teddy bears as imaginary friends. I don't know. And if people could let me know, I'd be more than willing to entertain that. So anyway, back to Egypt now. So now we have this populist uprising against Mubarak, and I guess against the totalitarian state that they've had. Now, the thing I'm going to warn people about, folks, we have supported Egypt for years. I mean, we are a big supporter of Egypt in this country. And we give them, $1.5 billion foreign aid every year. And we have helped to prop up this 30-year dictatorship. Folks, when we do that, when we prop up these dictatorships, when those dictatorships fall, that doesn't usually turn out well for us. Now, my argument is that we shouldn't be propping up any kind of dictatorship. We should not be supporting any sort of apartheid state, any sort of dictatorship. Now, we had reasons to do so back during the Cold War. Back during the Cold War, we would support certain types of state because they were anti-communist. But there's a lot of different types of anti-communists. And some of the people who we supported were not very nice people. People such as, you know, the dictator of Cuba before the communists took over there. Was it Somoza? Or was that in Nicaragua? I think that might have been in Nicaragua. So when these dictatorships inevitably get overthrown, as they always do, people don't forget who propped them up for 30 years. As I said, you know, Mubarak isn't Hitler. He's not Saddam Hussein. He's not, you know, the worst that you can get. He's a totalitarian, but he was our totalitarian. Now, there are some reasons to be optimistic about what's going on in Egypt. Now, you can remember the last time this happened in the Arab world was 1979. We had been propping up a dictator in Iran for some decades. And the Shah of Iran was a brutal, nasty person. He was a despot. He was not a nice person. We supported him because he was anti-communist. And when he was overthrown, he was replaced by something worse, a theocracy. Now, I don't think that that's going to happen in Egypt. I'll tell you why. It's because Egypt is, in general, not a fundamental, religious society. They are a more cosmopolitan sort of culture. You have your, you know, of course, you do have your religious fringe, too, as you do everywhere. But it's encouraging that the kind of the most prominent of the opposition leaders is generally a pro-Western person. So, you know, I don't see that this is the same as 1979 Iran. So I'm kind of looking at the situation. I am kind of following what's going on day to day and seeing, you know, what's coming out of Egypt. But hopefully this will turn out okay. That we're not going to end up with another theocratic state in the Middle East, because that would be bad. You know, the last thing we need is that kind of a state. I don't care about where it is in the world or who it is in the world. It would be a horrible thing here. If we were to have a Christian state, that would be a horrible thing here. A lot of people would die because of that. The problem with these totalitarian states, you know, is that you never know what you're going to come out of. You know, hopefully that they can resolve this in Egypt and we can have something. Anyway, that was just kind of my thoughts on it. We do have a message here from I just got somebody posted a link here, but that's not for me. I think that's for Ross on his show. terrible. I need to wrap it up here. It's getting to be about 4 to the hour. But anyway, that's a few of my thoughts. This hasn't been the most organized show, has it? But it has been a couple of weeks since I've talked to you. We will be back next week. I'll be talking about Edinburgh. And, of course, if anybody has any Edinburgh stories, their favorite sites in Edinburgh, especially if you're in the UK, the things that you really enjoy seeing in Edinburgh, to let me know. And you can email me again at tom@tomharrisusa.com. Or indeed, tom@unitedkingdomradio.co.uk. And you can tell me your thoughts on Edinburgh. And we'll talk about that next week on the show. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up here in a few minutes. I do still have to talk for a few minutes yet. Oop, sorry about that. Sorry about that, folks. I didn't mean to have that system noise there. And once again, I do enjoy hearing from people. And of course, you can Skype in next week as well. We can chat about Edinburgh on the air. And I do apologize, folks. You know, I know I've had some complaints this past week for people while Chris has been gone. The shows that they've been playing out on the pre-recorded show stream here on United Kingdom Radio have been the same shows. Now, I do believe that they've all changed now. And so you don't have to listen to to me talk about Denmark 17 times in a row, because now I think there are different shows on there, and you can hear some of the stuff that's been posted since then. Anyway, do thanks everybody for listening. This is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. Going to go and sign off now. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week here on Tom Harris Live.
Personal Apocalypse 2011.